Out of the ashes we rise. There's no Praise God. Just turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm so glad that you're here. Then you can be seated. Praise God. We need a microphone. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, good morning. Y'all look fantastic today. You don't know how to take a compliment. Thank you. Somebody over here said so to you, I think. And I said, thank you. You all look nice today. You're welcome. Isn't that nice? That was really heartfelt the second time. I think all the light coming through the windows definitely it's definitely shining on your good side. Your outside. What a beautiful day to be in God's house. Amen? Amen. What an awesome, awesome day. And we're so thankful for the Lord and all that He's done. Thank you, bud. What He's been doing around here. Last week, 17 people came forward to receive Christ. Last week, so that's fantastic. And I want my wife to just tell you a little bit about when you went to the schools this week. I just said come with me, so she has no idea what to do next, but now she knows. Tell them about that.
I just wanted to first of all thank all of you that brought coats. You brought new ski pants, new coats, hats, mittens, gloves. It just went on and on and on. This week, we were, putting the different sizes in. The whole hallway was full. And then we had more winter boots than we have ever had. This year, we were able to go to 3 new schools that we have not given to.
That's awesome.
So I just wanted to say thank you so much for giving to our community. How many believe, and obviously you believe this, that every child in this area should have a winter coat?
Yeah, that's a given, yeah.
We were at one school, and it was a newer school. We've only done a couple things at this school. And I walked in, and we had a huge garbage, just huge Santa bag. 2 of them, and I needed to pray for my back after because you overloaded us. We had went in, and one of the ladies said, can you just wait a few minutes? And she went, and she got the nurse, and the nurse came over and said, you have no idea how many children will leave today with a coat that do not have one. You have no idea. And she said, are you from that Charleston church? Yes, it's good to be known for some good things, isn't it? It is, trust me. So then she just began to talk about, their need at that school. And then she said, and she didn't know me, and she said, can I give you a hug? And I thought, out of all people, I am a hugger. So come on in. And so she gave me a hug, and then Brooke and I were leaving, and we went by their tree that has gifts that they needed for their children. I was just thinking about my second grader when they were that age. And they said, I need a coat.
Wow.
I need a coat.
Yeah.
And I thought, my kids never had to say, I need a coat for Christmas. Not that that's wrong. But I'm just so thankful that we can bless our community and meet their Amen. Needs. Amen. So thank you, Charleston Church, for all that you do and being faithful.
That's awesome. Hey, don't go anywhere. You're in a hurry.
Oh.
Hey, tell the people about those houses over there.
Oh, okay.
You're doing good. Oh. You're like on a roll.
Well, thank you, honey. So, we had a gingerbread, help me, what was it called? We had something that you made a gingerbread this weekend.
Gingerbread extravaganza.
Okay, thank you. Would you like the mic?
No,
I'm talking, honey.
I have a mic.
Shut his mic off. I'm just kidding. So this weekend we had that. Friday night in the Epic Center. And I kid you not, I think probably at least a third, if not a half, people I did not know. Is that right, Heather? I mean, there were so many people from our community that just came in because they were invited. And they were making gingerbread houses and having They had everything there. They're the most, our children's team is so creative. So these are our first place, second place, and third place winners. And you cannot see them. But this is from, do you want me to name every name, honey?
You're doing good.
Okay, thank you. This is from Nicole Smith, Sally Smith, and Bailey. And there is, you can't see this, but there, it's just beautiful. Trust me. And there's a manger in here. And the Bean Boys, they're going to be disqualified next year. Where are you? It's over for you, buddy. No more. No more. They are there. It starts at 6 and ends at 9. And I kid you not, 6 o'clock, they're in their seats, ready for that timer. They take competition very, very serious. And this one is Dennis. He did tremendous. Is this wrong? Is this yours, Dennis? No. Yes. Okay. And this is Dan and Ethan. Stand up, Dan and Ethan. Balcony man. Yes. Woo! They did amazing. I went to their table and tried to distract them a little bit, but they totally ignored this blonde. Just not even nothing. Hi, Darcy. That was about it. So we just had, it was such an outreach for our community. If you were here Saturday, Friday night, will you just raise your hand so we can see? Keep them up there for a second.
That's awesome.
That Epic Center was full the whole night, so it was exciting.
That's awesome.
Can I walk down now?
No, you need to stay up here.
Okay.
But you can come towards me if you want. I was headed to speak at chapel Friday night, and the parking lot, other than the top parking lot, the whole parking lot was full. It looked like a Sunday, almost a Sunday service. So it's fantastic and a wonderful opportunity. Thank you for reaching out and bringing people. Many people had mentioned I've been witnessing, inviting friends to church, and this was a great opportunity, and that's fantastic. So, and if I get hungry halfway through the service, I'll just go over and eat a shutter or a wall. So thank you. Next, I just want to thank you for helping us last Sunday. We asked you to share the service on Facebook, and the viewers quadrupled in that one service because you did that. So I just want to say to you, every service, when you think of it on Facebook Live, just share that service. And you've got digital contacts, but those are real people behind those likes, hearts, and smiley faces. And so when you do that, every service, you get in that habit of sharing the live stream, you can tell your friends about it. Would you help me welcome Ron Day to the platform as he comes and joins us on the platform? Ron is our Sunday school superintendent, and tonight is a big, big deal.
Oh, yes.
I can't wait for tonight. Here's the mic. Yes. And we're so grateful for Ron being the superintendent. If you're not aware of it, we have Sunday school every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. from nursery right up through the adults. And Ron's been just running the Sunday school for decades. It has a tremendous heart for it. And I know it doesn't
That's
even
a
long
look
time. It. It doesn't look it, but you have. And every year we try to acknowledge the years of service of our great Sunday school teachers. And so today's a great day to do that. I hope that you come back tonight at 5 o'clock for the Christmas program. Welcome Ron Day as he shares these awards
Thank
of
you.
Service.
Thank you.
You want me to hold the button? You're good.
Good morning, everyone. Every year, the Sunday school does what we call Years of Service Awards. And we do it in five-year increments. And this year, we have 9 people who volunteer themselves every Sunday to work in the Sunday school. A few weeks ago, we had a videographer here. And he did some videographing in the Sunday school. And he and I were talking. And he said, you know, and he gets around to all the churches all over the country doing this videographing. And he says, you know, he was so amazed, he couldn't believe the years of service that you volunteers have. And he told me, he said, you know, the average time that a volunteers nationwide, they last 6 months. I mean, we don't have that problem here.
No, sir.
So that made me a little curious, and so I went to the Sunday school list of workers. The Sunday school has 45 volunteers bona fide positions that they do every Sunday morning. 45. I did an average. And the average years of service is nearly 15 years. Now, if you think that's something, I was a little more curious. So I took the top 20 in the Sunday school, and it averaged 25 years of service.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
If I could have the department heads come up, I want to have some awards here. If you would come right up, Lisa, Eric, Mike and Bree, Melissa, you could come right up here. We have something special to do for these people.
You can stand right over here. Hey, buddy.
If I could have Lucy Dumoulin, Kalina Parks, Rick Jelly, and Cindy Gonya, if you would come up, these folks have 5 years of service. Congratulations. Let's give her 5 years she's been with the Sunday school. Rick Jelly.
Thank you, Lucy.
Has 5 years with the Sunday school. I might say that Rick is a teen teacher, he and his wife. Lucy is involved with a Bible memorization. She has a great job. She listens to these little kids when they say their verses, and it's some cute. Congratulations, Rick. Go right down there. They want to shake your hand. Everybody wants to shake your hand. Next is Cindy Gonya. Cindy works. She's a teacher in the third grade. 5 years. Congratulations. Very good. And Kalina Parks, she helps Kelly Day in age three. Congratulations. If I could have Deborah Meserve and Dan and Valerie Kelly come up, please.
Congratulations, you have a cup.
Moving right up the ladder here. Congratulations, Deborah. 15 years. Deborah works in the office, does a fantastic job. 15 years. Dan and Valerie Kelly, they teach grade 2.
Thank you.
I got one for each of you. I don't know if you want to share it, but you got it. Now, they used to drive all the way from Bucksport. They've moved in the area now, but they used to drive all the way from Bucksport to teach, and they was one of the first ones here. Very special, dedicated teachers. Next, we have.
Now you're late every time.
Kelly Speed. Kelly, if you would come. And maybe Raylene Parks could come. Kelly, I know she doesn't look it, but she's been working in the Sunday school. She teaches age 5, and she has 20 years in the Sunday school. Congratulations. Now, this one's hard to believe, too. Raylene Parks, she helps her mom in age 4. And believe it or not, she has 30 years in the Sunday school. Congratulations. Thank you, Pastor.
You're doing good.
Oh, yes. We'd love to see you tonight. And if you have any red, like I do, I'd be honored if you wore red tonight. That would be a great thank you to our Sunday school. God bless you.
You know, Ron,
here we go.
The Bible says that we are the temple of the Lord.
Yes.
You're working on a mega church right there, I can see. I love you. Here you go. Now get off my stage. Let Ron know you love him if you would, please. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Here you go, honey. I'll take that with you. That's cruel. That's how men compliment each other. If you're a lady, men already know what I was doing right there. But thank you so much. One more time, all of the volunteers, let them know we love them for helping us. The great Sunday school. Praise God. How many of you are a Sunday school alumnus? Like you grew up going to Sunday school. Raise your hand up nice and high. I'm one of them, and I'm so grateful and thankful for teachers that do that. I want the ushers to come. We're going to worship the Lord in our giving today. I'm glad to report to you about our emphasis over a few weeks, and I'm not going to talk as much about it today, and hopefully next Sunday will be the last time I mention it, about our missions outreach. We've kind of given it a theme, Project 2018. They range from Joe's House, a transitional home for men, to reaching the veterans, working with the United Veterans of Maine, giving veterans a place to stay, a place to be trained, a place to receive Christ, to building the scholarship fund at Faith Bible College International, where every dollar we give is doubled up there, to Tiff Shuttlesworth's trip to Alaska. How many of you enjoyed that ministry last week on prophecy? And we're so grateful for Tiff and Judy. They're here. We love them so much. We want to be able to help them. They're also a part of a matching gift. A businessman has said, if you can raise $35,000, I'll double up to $35,000. So we're excited about that. Nate Pimento going to India. So many wonderful things. There's a real handsome pastor on Fusion. We try to get his face on everything possible. That was a weak response, but anyways, I speak those things as though they are, even though they may not be. So we're excited about, we're about two-thirds way to the goal, so if you've got that card in front of you, you can fill that out. Maybe you haven't been here for a few weeks, which is possible, then put that in there, and fill that out and put that in today, and we'll give you the update next week. Here's what I want to say about our giving, if you would. Number one, this is an incredibly faithful church. I'm so grateful for the fact that there are hundreds of people that are continually and faithfully being obedient. And how many understand it's not necessarily the sacrifice, it's the obedience that God loves and honors. The scripture says God loves a cheerful giver. That means there's a lot of people here doing it because they love God. You came today and you worshiped God. How many understood that when we sang those songs, they weren't to a person, but they were to Jesus Christ? How many of you understood that today? You know, our giving is worship as well. Unfortunately, there are so many natural things. We limit them like, well, we're just taking care of this or just taking care of that. But when we give today, if you can imagine it, and it's not a stretch, it's true. When we give of our substance, of our life, to God. How many of you understand that? Just raise your hand. Am I communicating that? When you give today, whether it's $100, $1,000, 5 cents, or $50,000, whatever it is, I know that you're giving it to a 501c3, but when God sees you giving to what He's involved with, He sees it as you're giving it to Him. Sometimes you'll hear about people that will say, for my birthday, this is what I want you to do. I want you to give those gifts to somebody else. You ever heard of somebody doing that? For my birthday, I want you to do this for this organization, for those people, or for that family member. And when God says, I want you to give to me, but God says, I want you to understand, I want you to give it to these things that I'm involved with. And when you give an offering to these things that I'm involved with, God says, I consider you giving that to me. Boy, that inspires me when I begin to give then. I'm not just giving to expand the ministry and reach people with the gospel. I'm giving to God because God says, whatever you give to that I'm involved with, I consider you giving it to me. Here's a scripture. The Bible says, when you reach out to those who are in prison, what did God say? You're reaching out to me. When you clothe those that are naked or even put coats on cold children, you know what you're doing? You're clothing God. In fact, that's what it means. God is saying, when you do it to them, I consider it like you're giving me a gift. How many are glad that God sees every gift that we give? Maybe not everybody else sees it, but God sees it. And when you give it scripturally, God says, I take that as a matter of worship that you're giving it to me. I want to ask you one more time. How many are ready to worship God in your giving today? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving to us the ability to sow and to invest And God, we believe that what we sow, we reap. And God, we believe that when we're giving, it's not just to the natural things, but we're giving on behalf because we love you. And we give you thanks for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. So I hope to see you tonight at 5 o'clock. Oh, Gary, don't miss me. I'll see you tonight at 5 o'clock. Everybody wear red, and it's going to be a blast. Whether you have children in Sunday school or not, just come. You are thoroughly going to enjoy it. Paul Baloche is coming for a concert. You can get your tickets online. December 8th, I believe that is. You're going to really enjoy that. And then our family Christmas celebration is December 16th and 17th, Saturday and Sunday, 16th and 17th. Joy to the World. It's going to be a fantastic Christmas presentation, and we can't wait for those two dates. So make sure that you're now inviting people. Just before I go into the Word, I want to just say thank you to all of you that are visiting today, joining us online. I hope that you'll come back. It means a lot to us that you're here. Before you go, take that rack card that's in the rack in front of you, fill that out, and take it with you to the Welcome Center. We have a gift for you, or you can text and let us know that you're here that way. That would be fantastic. Amen? Praise God. Let's welcome all of our guests today. Let them know that we're glad that they've joined us. Had a beautiful service here this week for Iona Young's mom, and just a wonderful family, big family. Huge family, massive family. I think she had, what I think Dalton said, 90. Is it 90 greats? 90 between the grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, maybe 90, maybe more. That's a small, that's like a township. Just beautiful. So, all right, let's stand together and let's open our Bibles. To the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes. Friday morning. I don't like waiting that long, but Friday morning I felt led of the Lord to speak to you concerning eternity. And as I prayed, and whenever God says something to you, you think about it. And the Lord said, you know, in light of what Evangelist Shuttlesworth preached last week on the end times, the prophecies being fulfilled, that I was to go this direction. And so I believe that we're all going to be encouraged today, live differently in a wonderful way. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I'll give you a minute there. Open your Bible, your digital device, your phone, or whatever. And I would encourage you, if you would, I haven't said it for a while, but just because I say it doesn't mean it's right. Just because you hear it doesn't mean you'll remember it. So I'd encourage you to study the scriptures, write stuff down. I'm asking the Lord to give us ways next year that we can become better students of the scripture. Every day, I say every day, I would say 5 out of 7 days. I want to be real honest about it. I pray for you as a church according to Colossians chapter 3. The prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the Colossian church, I pray for you. I just pray the same thing. And one of those prayers is I daily pray that you be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. And how many understand the will of God is easily found within the scripture? And so I want you to know every day somebody, and there's many more than me, but somebody's praying for you. And one of those prayers that I pray is that you would be filled with the knowledge of the will of God for your life. And one of these things you're going to hear about today, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. You got time. If you haven't found it yet, look on your neighbor's Bible, okay? And if your neighbor doesn't have a Bible, sit with somebody else next week. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. And then Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11 says, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. Look at that. He has planted eternity in the human heart. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are an eternal being, if you would please. And then you can be seated, if you would please. Thank you. Let me just get right to it, if you don't mind. And I appreciate you just kind of staying put during the preaching. It kind of can be distracting for people when there's motion. So I appreciate you just kind of helping us keep everybody attentive. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 has this to say. That in life there are times and then there are varies of activities. And you know Ecclesiastes chapter 3, if it goes on, there's a time to be born, is a time to die, plant, time to harvest, time to tear down, time to mend, time to be quiet, time to speak up, time to love, time for hate, time for war, time for peace. I don't know if you think Peter, Paul, and Mary wrote that, but actually Solomon did. And then you contrast that with that very scripture that I just read for nine scriptures. He's talking about all these different activities that happen and can happen. We're not going to get obsessed with those. You don't build a doctrine on Ecclesiastes 1, 3 verses 1 through 10. People build doctrines on that. They say, well, there's a time you have to, and you know, it's just saying, the point he's making is there are hills and valleys to life in time. Then he kind of goes to the other extreme and he says, oh, and by the way, though you're going through all these different activities in life, remember that though there's time and season, there's another dimension where there are no times, there are no seasons, there are no clocks, and it's called eternity is in the heart of man. It's not hard to convince a child that there's a place called heaven. But every year that child gets older, if they're not raised around people of faith, this secular society will try to pull and suck that eternity-mindedness out of them. Try to pull that out of them. It's interesting, even as secular as America is getting, still 80% of all Americans believe in the afterlife. Non-Western people, nearly 100% of them believe that there is an afterlife. So I need you to understand this. There are two realities, and this is the premise of what I'm going to say today in a very, I think I can do it in a brief time. Now, there are two realities. There's time and eternity. Too much preaching is dealing with time, and not enough preaching dealing with eternity. Because when you get a better grasp on eternity, you get a better grip on time. Let me give you an example. It's Christmas. We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to assume that everybody understands it, so let me just say, when Jesus was born is not when Jesus was created. Okay? The birth of Christ is where we celebrate God. Listen to these words, as incredibly as they sound. At Christmas, we celebrate the fact that God entered the human race. I think that's pretty incredible. Through the womb of a woman, God took on a human body. But Jesus did not just come into being at his birth. He transitioned. For before his birth or entrance into the race of humanity, he existed in something called eternity. Eternity is a place without beginning and without end. It was like biology for me in high school. He dwelt there. He lived there. And then he stepped out of there and slid into the human sheath and experienced time. I begin to think about that Friday as I was in prayer and begin to realize, you know, Jesus was like that, was like your girlfriend's ex-boyfriend. He always did everything right. Jesus always knew the right thing to say. He always knew the right place to be, and he always knew the right thing to do. And yes, he was God in the flesh, but don't dismiss the fact that his being in eternity had to have a huge impression on the way he lived his life in time. You talk to some of these people that went to Haiti and they went to the orphanage, and they say when they come back, I'll never be the same because of where I've been. I would suggest today, please get this, that because many things about Jesus' life, but one of the reasons he always knew what to say, what to do, and where to be, was that one time he had existed in eternity in a place that you and I only believe in by faith, have never seen. Well, some have died and have seen it, but most of us have not. And then he stepped out of it. What I'm saying is being there had a huge effect on what he did here. Nobody fulfilled their purpose better than Jesus Christ. Nobody left a greater legacy than Jesus Christ. Nobody helped people and made them feel loved and brought the outcast in and let those pious know that they're not nearly as great as they think they are. I would suggest to you today that you and I can have that same experience if we will allow the eternity mindset that Jesus had to rise and increase in all of us. Look at John chapter 1. Says, in the beginning, the Word. Now, if you're new to the Bible, and there's nothing wrong with that, I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad there are people here that don't understand the Bible. I'm glad there's people here that do. But when we say Word, we can really say Jesus. In the beginning, Jesus already existed. Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Verse 2. Jesus existed in the beginning with God. God, now, we're talking about the beginning of time. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through Jesus. How many understand Jesus was there? Verse 4. The Word, Jesus, gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in darkness. The darkness is ignorance of God. Darkness is always an ignorance or an absence of God. And the darkness could never stop it. I don't care how dark it gets in here, those lights will never be stopped. Verse 14. So Jesus became human and made His home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. We have seen His glory and the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Jesus demonstrates to us what somebody's life can look like if they understand eternity. I read it last year, a tremendous book by Dinesh D'Souza on evidence for life after death. I think we all should be curious about that because we're all going to die. He said, these are the following proofs, and none of them are biblical. Number one, modern physics shows the existence of eternity. This is not studies done in the 1800s or in the 50s. I mean, since the new millennium, since the 2000. Modern biology shows that there is an eternity. Neuroscience, modern neuroscience proves there is an eternity. Modern philosophy is starting to overwhelmingly agree that there is an eternal existence. And morality is best understood in the light of eternity. Jesus always knew how to conduct Himself. He always knew what to do. And this is the beauty of it, ladies and gentlemen. This is the beauty. Just try to stay tuned. Watch. The more of Christ, the more we let Christ rule in our lives, the more we will automatically be eternity conscious. Come on, I'm trying to tell you of a benefit. Why are you looking at me that way? You don't have to try to be reminded that there is life after this one. The more you allow Christ to get involved in the everyday areas of your life, you will live with you won't even try to think, wow, there's an eternity. You'll always be aware there's a life outside of this one. If I could, I'd make a commercial. Want to get away to eternity? On your worst day, just don't ever forget what I'm about to tell you. It won't always be this way. I think somebody would lift a hand and thank God that He's given us access to a place called eternity. Let me tell you four practical things that will happen to you when you become eternity minded. Is it okay if I do it this way? That's about all I got. Number one, when you're eternity minded, you place a greater value on the unseen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, somebody say rather. Praise God. You need a rather in your life. We fix our gaze or our focus on the things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. If you take a glass bottle and you put gas vapor in it, and you break the glass bottle, you don't destroy the vapor, you release it. When this glass bottle, when Rondé's perfect specimen finally breaks forth, I'm telling you, the real Rondé will break. Just because you don't see his natural body moving anymore, the real Rondé will continue to exist in a place not made with man's hands. When you begin to have this consciousness that life is but a vapor, it's the withering grass, that you begin to lose such pressure and the burden of some of the issues that we deal with on a daily basis begins to ease, because you know this of all things is temporary and the eternal is forever. Solomon built a temple, a massive church. When the Queen of Sheba, who was the Ethiopian lady, went to see this great edifice, the Bible records that she fell to the ground. She fell to the ground because she was overwhelmed with the natural beauty. The Bible says the priest went into that same temple and they too fell to the ground. But they didn't fall to the ground because there's a great sound system, or because there's great projectors, or because of the decorations, or because of the comfortable seats. The Queen of Sheba did, but the priest fell down the same way. But it wasn't for what they could see. They were overwhelmed by something you couldn't see. It was the presence of God. Oh my goodness. If all you live for and your joy is always dialed by what you see on the outside, you are forfeiting so many joy. There are so many joys. When you live with an eternity mindset, you not only sense, yes, there's natural beauty, but there's another beauty. It's called the presence of the Lord. And on your worst day, you can have the greatest peace that no man could ever buy. Woo! Oh, sure, be like the Queen of Sheba. Enjoy the beauties. But I'd rather be like the priest and be overwhelmed with the unseen. Number two, you not only have a greater value of the unseen, you have a greater sense of urgency. Ephesians 5:16. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. That word redeemed or make the most means to rescue and make the best use of it. I wish every one of us would leave this place today with the desire to rescue and redeem every opportunity, good or bad, that comes to us. Play the hand you've been dealt, but play it well. Come on, somebody. Last week, 14, 17, I don't remember how many people were brought to this church by somebody who's redeeming the time and said, I want my family member to go to heaven. I want my child to go to heaven. I want my boss to go to heaven. I want my neighbor to go to heaven. I'm telling you, before this year ends, would you agree together with me? Let's not let one opportunity to share our faith ever pass us by, but we don't make the best of it all. I was at the vitamin shop last night for the first time. You know I had to have been bored. So I walked in and I was looking around and just being in there, I felt healthy. Felt like church. And one whole side is to build your body up. One whole side. I'm going to take Ron Day there someday. He and I are going to go in. And it's the price you pay for being on the platform. I'm sorry, Ron. And so I bought some protein bars and some of these, I don't know what the drinks, non-alcoholic, but the drinks. And I went up to the guy, and the guy was ringing me, and I think he was new, and nice young man. And he said, I need your email address, because you know, you got to give everybody, to buy anything nowadays, you've got to give them your date of birth, your social security number, your shoe size, right? And so he said, I gave my address, it's mattward@charlestonchurch.net. So he goes, and then he goes back, he says, oh, are you part of that church? I said, sort of. That's what I said. I said, sort of. Yeah, I'm kind of involved there. Because you don't know what they're going to say, right? Like if he's going to give me a discount because I was a heathen, I'd take it. So I didn't know how to respond. And then he said, that's really cool. I said, oh, well, I'm the pastor. And so we got talking about that, and I reached in my pocket, and there's some cards out there. I didn't even know I had one. And I reached in my pocket to get my credit card out, and I found a card. There's some business cards out there. The front of it just says the name of the church, the website, and on the back, the service times. I said, oh, look, I've got one card here. I don't even know why I have it, but I want you to have it. The healthiest thing I've done in the past 24 hours was redeem the time. So I'm going to go out, I'm going to fill my wallet out with those little cards. And every moment that somebody asks anything about church or is it, which can be connected to any, hey, you want a card? That may not be a big deal to you, but one man plants, one man waters, but God gives the increase. I'm going to redeem the time. I'm not going to waste my life being distracted. How about you? Urgency. I don't have to convince you. There's some crazy things going on in the world today. Tiff preached about it last week. There are some crazy things going on, and there are some crazy people in this world who have some crazy power. Anything could happen. Like the potential of crazy things happening, I think, is greater now than it's ever been. It's crazy. It's crazy. I didn't say that knowing eternity and the times creates anxiety. Because anxiety, when you begin to realize eternity, anxiety will lock you down. But urgency will make you kind of get up and get going. Like, come on, bring on the challenge. An urgency to win the loss. An urgency to live holy. Okay, shh, quiet down. Sit down, people behind you can't see. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. James 4, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? I'm not going to rush through this part. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy to God. 1 John 2:15, these are still in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone, I don't care, it didn't say if you don't go to church, it says if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. You can come to church and sing the songs all you want, but if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you, the Bible says. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, and it's not from the Father, it's from the world. When he says hate the world, that doesn't mean you have to hate people at all. But there's some things in the world you do hate. I hate what drug addiction does to people. I hate what cancer does to people. I hate what the fact that somebody hates somebody else because of the color of their skin. I hate that. I hate that. But I'm going to tell you something. We have got to be careful that we don't. If you feel more comfortable outside of church than you do inside of church, you might want to check your spirit. I'm not judging you, but I'm telling you, if you're more comfortable in a non-faith environment than you are in a faith environment, I would say you need to cautiously go to prayer and say, Lord, have I fallen in love with the world? A world that you told me that I should despise. I'm not saying you shouldn't enjoy nice things. I'm not saying you shouldn't have connections and relationships and work. And I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying if your greatest comfort is anything but being with God's people, you are on the very thin ice to falling in love with the world. And the Bible says if you love this world, you don't have the love of the Father in you. Harold Koenig, professor of psychiatry and behavior science, said people of religious faith who believe in life after death are not only healthier than their counterparts, they're less likely to suffer from stress, less likely to suffer from body ailments and live longer. They are healthier, they are happier in marriage, and make life better for their fellow man. Ladies and gentlemen, we must stop living like the world who are expecting the opposite results than that and start living for eternity and stop telling the world they're going, that they're bad people. Start showing the world what people who are connected to heaven actually get as benefits of living the holy life. Number three, we live with heaven in our heart. Oh, praise God. Philippians 1:21. For me, living means living for Christ, but dying is even better, is what Paul said. Leonard Ravenhill carried a card with him all the time that said, Lord, keep me eternity conscious. I've done some funerals since I've come on staff here in 1993. I've done funerals for children that didn't reach the age of understanding. And I've done funerals for elderly people who never accepted Christ. And on the outside, most people would say, oh, the service for the child is the saddest. And the service for the elder one who did not accept Christ is not. But when you're eternity-minded, you understand it's actually the opposite. It's actually the opposite. The one who goes to Christ is the fortunate one. When you live with heaven in your heart, you make decisions appropriately. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I love what Matt Parker told me the other day, the Pastor Rigo who runs the orphanage, that we hope that we can just fund all the feeding for that orphanage for every child for the entire year of 2018. We can do this. The Hague, is it The Hague? Came to him, which is an international organization that said to Pastor Rigo, we'll take care of all your financial problems, but you have to allow us to put your children in any home that we choose. Pastor Rigo said, I won't do that. This is a Christian orphanage, and all my children will go into Christian homes. And the world system said, absolutely not. We can put them in any kind of home that we want. How many know they ain't just hypocrites in the church? And Pastor Rigo said something that shook me. He said, I would rather have my children die at a young age and go to heaven than die at an old age and not. I think if a man's willing to make that step, that we ought to be able to fund him and we ought to help him. And we ought to say, we stand with you, Pastor Rego. If the world system won't, we will. We will. So you know, a few weeks ago, we went to Spain. My wife and I went there to Spain, and a businessman said, I'm connected to these people. If I paid your ticket, would you go and speak at their conference? So we went over, and when we landed in Bilbao, Pastor Julio's son, Julio, was taking us through Bilbao. I mean, we were looking at buildings that are older than this nation. It was awesome. So as we're walking along, he's a little wound up Spanish kid, wound up all the time, just always, just a high octane, wound up all the time. And you know, and he said, did you ever imagine you'd go to Europe? And I'm like, no. He said, out of all the countries in Europe, which one did you want to go to? And I said, really? None. He couldn't believe it. Really? He said, you've never dreamed to come here? I said, no, my forefathers shed their blood to free us from this place. I want nothing to do with you people. I'm just be honest. Like I honestly can say, not once in my life, he said, you never wanted to be Spain? Nope. I'm like, have you not been to where I live? But I met some of the most precious people that are children of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Pastor Julio, his dad, his family, went to a ministry that they have that's just like Joe's house, and met the men in Joe's house, and went to church and spent time with them. And I can say, and I was being real honest, I had no intention to ever go. In fact, if I never left Penobscot County, I'd die with a grin permanently pasted on my face. But now I know some people in Spain. And whenever the next, and they're already talking about it, whenever the next opportunity for me to go to Spain happens, I will so look forward to it. Not because I've been there, because there's people there that I've grown to love. I don't know if you've thought about it lately, but I know some people in heaven. Though I've never been there, though I've never walked the streets of gold, I've never seen the gates of pearl, I've never heard the angelic choir sing, holy, 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 though I've never seen the saints that wrote these scriptures, and though I've never met the preachers that have brought the gospel so that we could have it here today, I'll tell you this, I got a mama up there, makes me want to go. I've got a brother up there, it makes me want to go. I've got some friends in this church that are there, I've never been there, but inside, I want to go to heaven more than I've ever wanted to go to heaven before. And I wish that would burn inside of every one of us today, and we'd stop our frivolous fussing and stop worrying about what people think and gaining likes on Fool Book. Come on, let's get up a little bit and grow up and say, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Heaven eternal, heaven supernal. Oh, it makes me feel like traveling on. I don't care if they get tax cuts or not. I'm going to heaven. Oh, they stayed up till 2 in the morning. Well, isn't that what they're supposed to do? I'm going to heaven today. I can't wait. I don't even have time to go any further. What will your legacy be? What will your legacy be? I'll go to the next one. Last one. It changes our priorities. The Bible says in Luke 14, Jesus used an illustration of a man who was inviting people to come to his feast. And one man could not come. He says, I bought a piece of land, I can't join. One man said, I have a business, I can't join. One guy said, I got married, I can't join. One man said, I can't get fully involved with what you're doing because I have an investment. I've got a retirement that I want to enjoy. One man said, I can't get involved with what you're doing because I got business. I'm too busy. And the third one said, I got this family thing. I cannot get involved. But what's sad is what those men, God did not ask any of those men to give up their retirement, give up their business, or give up their family. But what they did was they said, we will forfeit the best blessings for temporary enjoyments. When you begin to open your eyes and begin to see there is an eternity that we can reap some of the benefits of now, we will not allow the things that don't matter to obsess our focus. It's awful hard to stay discouraged when you begin to think about heaven. You hear people say, well, I don't want to be so heavenly minded, I'll be no earthly good. I've never met somebody. That's a lie. That's an excuse. I've never met anybody so heavenly minded they were no earthly good. I've met people that were weird that were no earthly good. That's the truth. But I've never met anybody that truly longs. Whew. Is anybody getting it today? I mean, I can go on for another hour. I got it in me. But if you can get it, I'm done. Do you get it? I'm done. I'm done. Jesus Christ died. He was buried and he rose again. He showed himself to people that followed him, and he showed himself even to critics. The disciples went and preached the message, he is alive. And the disciples gave their lives for Jesus Christ, for the message of his resurrection. Ladies and gentlemen, there's only one reasonable explanation for the promises of the resurrection of Christ, is that he did live, he did die, he was buried, and he did raise again. And the Bible says that he's gone away, and he is right now preparing a place for us. But even while we are here waiting to go to heaven, the Bible says that he's at the right hand of the Father, interceding, talking to the Father on behalf of every single one of you. Here today, thinking about eternity doesn't make me want to become a hermit. Becoming eternity minded makes me want to live for Christ and enjoy the blessings that will never end. I think somebody ought to lift a hand and say, I thank God for eternity. I thank God for heaven. Come on. I thank God I've got a destination. After this life comes to an end, my life is just going to begin. Oh, praise God. Right out loud, begin to thank God. Lord, I thank you that when my life is over, not if, but when my life is over, I'm going to heaven. In Jesus' name, somebody shout amen. Amen. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, who's here today that says, Pastor, and I don't do this always, but I'm going to pray two prayers. You say, Pastor, quite honestly, and everybody's head's bowed, everybody's eyes closed, out of respect for one another, you say, Pastor, I've let some things get me distracted. I realize I just can feel distracted. My anxiety, my stress is so high because I've got my eyes on the wrong things only. And I want Christ to come alive in me. And because he was eternity-minded, he knew what to say, he knew what to do, he knew where to go. I want to know what to say. I want to know what to do. I want to know where to go. And I just want to make a commitment. This is what you're going to pray today. It's something about making a public commitment. I'm not going to call you forward. But say, by the raising of your hand, you say, you know what? Pray for me when you pray that I will become more eternity conscious than I've ever been before. And I want to be that way the rest of my life. Slip your hand up nice and high. Slip your hand up nice and high. Come on, come on. Don't be afraid. Yeah. Awesome. From the balcony right down to the second row. Awesome. Praise God. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person. There's some wonderful men and women in this place. God, I'm no stranger to it. I fight it too, God. You know it very well. But I fight getting focused on the wrong things. God, I pray that you'll help us. Free us from the weight of being chained to the temporary. Free us from it, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. That we might know the pleasures and the blessings of being eternity-minded. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen. With your heads continued bowed, you're here today. And you say, you know, you talk about heaven, but I don't have an assurance that when I die that I'll go there. You know, I flew to Florida just a few days ago. I didn't show up to the airport and say, I want to go somewhere. I made plans. How in the world is it people can think that they're going to go to heaven without making plans? And today, we got some plans. Jesus said, if you'll admit that you're a sinner, everybody born is. Jesus says, if you'll believe that Jesus Christ's life and ministry was to connect you back to God, and if you will confess, publicly confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord, the Bible says you can know that you're going to heaven as sure as that you know that you're in Charleston Church today. Complete confidence will come to you. That's the kind of presence that's here today. If that's you, maybe you've never prayed that prayer. You maybe believed. Of course you believed. A long time. But the Bible says you need a date and time, a public place where you said, this is where I joined the mighty family of God. This is where I made my reservation so that when my life is over, I know where I'm going. We were able to be in this auditorium this week for Iona's precious mother. Dalton and Pastor Booker were able to get up and say, we know for sure that Lillian made her plans and someday we're going to see her in heaven. I tell you, that is the greatest hope a family could ever have. Does your family have that hope? If they don't, today's your day. Today is the day that God has appointed for you to be in this building. And if that's you today, maybe you've drifted from God. Don't toy with eternity. I'm telling you, it's too long and it's too evident. It's going to happen. Don't mess around with your faith. If that's you, slip your hand up nice and high. Slip your hand up nice and high so I can see you. And then you put it down. Yes, yes, yes. Awesome. Who else? This is the day. You're going to make that decision. Today's the day I'm going to serve Jesus Christ with all of my heart. Quickly, stand together if you would. Nobody leaving the building. Stand together. And those of you that raised their hands, would you come to me real quick? And I want to pray for you right now. Just come. Stand right here. I'm just going to pray for you. Don't delay. Come on forward. Let's do this together. Let's do this together. Praise God. Praise God. Those others that raise your hands, I'll wait for you. I'll wait. I just want to pray a simple prayer with you. Today is your day. Today is the moment that you can walk out of this building and say, I made a decision. And everybody else can know. You know what? We were there the day they did it. And we know where they are. We know they're in a place called heaven. Praise God. God bless you. You needed this today.
I did.
Yeah. You'll have no doubt when you walk out the doors today that Jesus Christ has sealed your reservation. Isn't that awesome?
I have a plan.
You have a plan. You were listening, weren't you? Let's pray this way together. Are you ready? Praise God for His wonderful saving grace today. Let's pray this way together. Dear Jesus, please forgive me. From all my sins. I don't want to carry around the burden or the thought of not being in heaven when my life ends. I'm born a sinner. Came in a sinner. But I'm going out a daughter. A child of God. I believe Jesus. When you died on the cross and rose from the grave, you did everything necessary for me to have a relationship with God. I confess my sins are gone. My name is written in the book of life. That means I'm going to heaven when my life comes to an end. I give you thanks for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll touch my dear sister today. This is the day that you've made for her. The Bible said that you'd leave 99 to find one. And today, you found this precious lady. Lord, I pray that your hand be upon her. God, this is a definite, definitive moment for her spiritual walk. And God, nothing more valuable could happen to her or in this building today than her know her soul is right with you. Bible says, Lord, that her soul is worth more than all the money on the entire planet. Hallelujah. The money found and the money hidden. So God, we have reason to rejoice that the most valuable thing on the planet has been restored, rescued for your glory and for her good. I pray for her family now. Lord, every connection, every family member that doesn't know you like her, she wants to see them in heaven. I pray that you'll use her to be a light, a witness to her family members in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Something starts today in your family.
Thank you.
Okay, it's a ripple effect.
Thanks.
Really, it's happening. It starts today. Just watch. The things that happen out of this one decision will be so much greater than you would ever realize today. Isn't that awesome?
It is awesome.
God bless you. I love you. Praise God. Let's rejoice today and thank God. When peace like a river, we got time, stay with me, attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, let's lift him up, begin to praise him. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well. Just a moment. I'm ending early because I got ministry to do. So those of you that had to go, that's fine. But those of you that are here, just stay with me. The Holy Spirit spoke to me before the service today. How many know anything can happen when God's people get together? The Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I don't know who it is. But I don't have to. I know what I need to know. And then you just let God speak to you. But there are people, you walked in here, and there is... And maybe I'd know it naturally, but I have a special burden for it today. You walked in so consumed with things that you cannot change, that God can change. But it is doing something, and I need you to hear me very clearly. This pressure, and it might be 4 people, it might be 400 people. But this pressure is consuming your mind so much that the image I saw in my mind was your heart is just starting to harden. And you're scared. You're scared. What am I going to do if my heart never comes back to what it was? But I've come to tell you today, the anointing of the Holy Spirit has come today, tailored to find people's hearts who have been burdened and becoming hardened, to make them come back to life again. Hallelujah. And when I began to read that today in 2 Corinthians, do not fix your thoughts on the seen, but fix them on the unseen. I began to see God come into people's lives and take the mountains of burdens and smash them off your back and begin to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. He'll take your ashes, make something beautiful. I'm telling you, you feel that? You sense that today? I believe today God wants to take the ugly and replace it with the beautiful. He wants to take the heavy and replace it with the strong. He wants to take the darkness and fill it with light. That's the kind of God you and I serve today. And you got to take a step of faith and say, I'm going to say, in Christ, it is well with my soul. How many would receive, even if you don't even need it, how many would receive a soul renewing, refreshing baptism of the Holy Spirit today? Let God restore your soul. Sing, when peace like a river attendeth my way. Begin to praise Him and thank Him for it. When sorrows like sea billows roll. This is like a statement of faith today. Whatever my lot, make the devil run today. Kick it out of your life right now. And let God do a miracle for you now. It's well, it is well with my soul. It is well. Miracle working powers in this meeting today. It is well. Should buffet. Just sing that one.
Though Satan should buffet, though trials should fall, let this blessed
come on. Let mighty peace, just let mighty peace wash away all that pressure today. That Christ has regarded my helpless estate and shed his own blood
for my soul.
It is
well
with my quite honest, I'm never satisfied with a service. I'm grateful for one, I'm grateful for 100, but I'm never satisfied. I'm just telling you today, my prayer is that if you're not ready, that the Holy Spirit himself, who loves you more than anybody, will not let you off the hook, and that he'll stay at you. How many of you will agree with me together as a church that this will not be a natural life only church, but we will also be an eternity minded church? It's something a little humorous for you as we go out. Thank God for what he's done today. We were listening to Iona's mom's service, and Dalton was talking about Lillian. She ironed, this is for real. She did a lot of other things, but this is something. She ironed 50 dresses a week, ironed the pillowcase covers, made two racks of biscuits, one in the morning, one in the evening, shoveled out the horse manure, worked around the horses, When they got talking about all these things, I leaned forward to Malcolm. I said, it's kind of like sitting at Darcy's funeral. They don't get it. My wife doesn't iron 50 dresses a week. She doesn't iron the pillowcases. She doesn't make 2 racks of biscuits a day, and she doesn't shovel horse manure. I'm not saying that she doesn't have the potential to do all those things, but she doesn't currently need to do any of those things. She's gloriously happy. She's got other strengths. She's a good kisser. I can tell you that right there. Thank God. I'm not ashamed to say it. So I say, you must have married her because she'd be in the ministry. Not a chance. Some of the worst looking people I ever met are in the ministry. I wanted a good kisser. And but I say that in a little humorous to just say, you know what? Let our legacy as a church be those people know how to keep heaven in view. Those people know how to keep the things that matter the most important. Amen? That's really our... So Lord, I pray the blessings of the eternal come upon us, Lord, in this life. God, you said to us that we would not give up houses and land for eternity, but that you would not restore them to us. So God, we know that this is a deal we do not lose, and this is a deal that we always win. So I pray you'll bless the people, give us a wonderful afternoon, bring us back together tonight at 5:00. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Love somebody on your way. I love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon.